The Blue Water Chamber of Commerce hosts a variety of networking events, connecting their members with leads, referrals, and people they can do business with. See what's happening at the Chamber and how they can help your business grow at bluewaterchamber.com.
All right, 9:47 on this Monday morning. When that announcement was made a few weeks ago that the Princess of Wales, Kate Middleton, had been diagnosed with cancer, there were very few details that were released in that statement that she made. But one of the things that was learned is that she has been undergoing preventative chemotherapy. And a lot of people started, you know, searching out more information about preventative chemotherapy, wanting to know a little bit more about what that means. And so joining us right now to talk about that is the president of the American College of Preventative Medicine, Dr. Misra Rahman. Dr. Rahman, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Appreciate you being with us this morning. You know, a lot of us maybe haven't heard of preventative chemotherapy before. Is this something relatively new? Help us understand what this is.
So when we think of preventive chemotherapy, what we should think about is chemotherapy after either surgery or radiation has taken place in a patient with cancer. So it's nothing dissimilar than what you would consider chemotherapy. The way it's being referred to seems like it's either something new or different. It's not. Preventive chemotherapy is, in essence, chemotherapy to try to hit cancer cells that may be either left behind from when you have surgery in an abdomen or when you have breast cancer and there's surgery there. Cancer cells can float all around the body. And so it is preventive chemotherapy. It's chemotherapy afterwards to try to eliminate those cancer cells around the body that may not have been either irradiated or cut out with surgery. And it has been going on for decades. For example, in breast cancer, one of the common chemotherapy agents used is tamoxifen. And so this is something that is common, but it may not be given the fancy title of preventive chemotherapy in the past. And with this preventive chemotherapy, you can still get all of the side effects that would come with, as it were, routine chemotherapy.
That's interesting. The other thing that gets talked about a lot, too, is when we talk about preventative medicine, we talk about screenings. And cancer screenings are so important, aren't they?
They absolutely are. When we talk about preventive medicine, we think of it in three ways: primary, secondary, and tertiary. So primary prevention relates to, in this case, for cancer, the lifestyle changes one can make to prevent you from getting cancer. So this is sleeping appropriately, moving, cutting back on substances, not using drugs and alcohol and smoking. So that's primary prevention to prevent you from getting cancer. Secondary prevention is what you just talked about, screening. So for colon cancer, cervical cancer, breast cancer, there are things that a patient can do at certain ages in speaking to his or her physician. You can get a colonoscopy scheduled when you're 50 years old to check for colon cancer. And that's a screening that's recommended at least every 10 years once you're 50 and older. You also, women can get cervical cancer screenings, a pap smear, or breast cancer screenings like a mammogram. So that's secondary prevention. And then tertiary prevention is where you try to maximize a patient's quality and quantity of life. So somebody has cancer, they then undergo surgery or radiation, and then they can get chemotherapy to try to catch all of those cancer cells that may not have been cut out or may not have had radiation to kill them. So that's what we talk about in primary, secondary, and tertiary prevention.
You mentioned, lifestyle choices, quitting smoking or not starting in the first place, watching diet, exercise, things like that, all very important. There's also family history, too, isn't there, that's to be considered?
Yes. And part of what we know is that there are some people who have genetic codes that increase their risk of getting cancers, different types of cancers. In women, for example, there's something called BRCA. And some women, when they find out that they have that gene, will be at risk for cervical cancer or ovarian cancer. And so some women may choose to have preventive mastectomies or removal of the ovaries. So yeah, there's certainly a genetic component to this, but much of it relates to the choices that people make. One of the things we need to recognize also is that as we live longer, because there are better treatment modalities for cardiovascular disease, we will see more cancer in older patients. The concerning thing, as was in the news, is younger people getting cancer and dying of cancer. And this relates in significant part to the choices that are being made in terms of lifestyle, in terms of being overweight, having a poor diet, not exercising, using tobacco. And so this gets to the primary prevention where you make lifestyle medicine choices to not do certain things. And then that should take care or decrease this rate that we're seeing of cancer in young people.
Yeah. Conversation with your physician, right? That's important. That's where it all starts.
Conversation with your physician and making the choices. I know that behavioral changes, Paul, are among the hardest things that we can do. And trying to get patients to get up off the couch and exercise. In America, 2 out of 3 adults is either overweight or obese. People continue to smoke, not as much in the United States, but around the world. We're going to see this growing rate of lung cancer because smoking rates are increasing in India, in China. And so people can have the control in their own hands, and yet the ability to make the right choices, to do the things that are known to them that are the right things to do. It's hard when you're inundated with advertisements for food that is not necessarily nutritious, that is easily available, that is cheap, that is plentiful. You understand why in the United States, more than any other developed country in the world, we have the high rates of overweight or obesity that we do. And then smoking, lack of exercise. These are the things we need to focus on. And so that's the primary prevention. And then secondary prevention is going to your doctor. Getting screened as recommended by the American College of Preventive Medicine, by the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force. And your doctor, she or he will know what is recommended and do that for you. And then as a patient, as somebody who goes in to see the doctor, ask about these things. Part of it is taking control of your own life, making the right choices. And then if one is unfortunate to get a disease such as cancer, getting treatment as early as possible and then having the follow-up chemotherapy is needed. And I think this gets to the last point, which is access to good medical care. And the Affordable Care Act has allowed more and more people in this country to have access to insurance, access to health care. We need to make sure that in this country we continue to strengthen the community health centers, continue to expand, whether it's Medicaid or Medicare, to ensure that people, particularly poor and the elderly, get access to medical care, to ensure that the proper screenings can be done, to ensure that they get the treatment, to ensure that they get the treatment as early as possible, to have a good quality of life and a good quantity of life.
Dr. Roman, great advice. Appreciate you joining us this morning. Thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure, Paul. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.